Speaking of our veterans and thinking about Veterans Day, it just reminds me of that basic need to have someone stand in the gap for you, someone to stand up, someone to defend, and if necessary, someone to be on the offensive for you to get out there and fight those battles and know how to fight the good fight. We appreciate our veterans because of that, and we appreciate their families because of that sacrifice. But that willingness to stand in the gap for our nation means there's a willingness to stand in the gap for you and me, to face danger if necessary, to make sure you and I are secure, and to make sure we have, continue to have, and enjoy the freedoms that we have here in America. It reminds me very much of a call that God has put on the heart and on the lives of every Christian. It's the call to stand in the gap. It's the call to pray. God requires you and I, calls you and I to always pray for one another and for other people, and as we'll see in just a moment, for our nation and for our leaders. Election day has passed. The votes have not all been counted. Maybe your candidate won, is coming into office. Maybe your candidate did not win. I don't know at what level and at each place along the way who you voted for. But today I want to talk just a minute about what comes after election day. What does God call us to do? What does God require of Christians? And remember, there's always that question we have to ask and answer. If you say that you are a Christian, you're a follower of Christ, what difference does it make? So what difference does it make for you after the election? If on this side of the election, here we are as believers in Christ, what does God require of us? What does God want us to do? And the short answer we'll see, among other things this morning, is God calls us to pray and to pray for our leaders at every level of government. God calls us to pray for our elected leaders. We're going to talk about why that's his call in just a moment. If you have your Bible, go ahead and find 1 Timothy chapter 2 and hold your place there for just a minute. The New Testament book of 1 Timothy in chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is instructing his young protege, Pastor Timothy. And the Apostle Paul wrote two letters that God preserved for us. We call them 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. And in the course of both of those letters, Paul favors a phrase that comes up more than one time in both letters. And it's the phrase of fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. When he uses it in 1 Timothy, he's talking to Timothy about his leadership as a pastor and what to teach every Christian in his congregation as they reside in a culture that was hostile to Christianity. See, Timothy pastors a church in a city called Ephesus. And Ephesus was best known for its idolatry and its paganism. There were pagan temples all over the Roman Empire, and Ephesus was one of the places people would travel just to worship the pagan gods. So Christians saved in that culture and who no longer would worship in the pagan temples or the pagan gods or participate in that idolatry, who now said Christ and Christ alone is Lord, they could expect some hostility. And they could expect some government hostility. When Paul writes these words, the emperor in the empire is a man named Nero, who himself was something of a sadistic lunatic and who would eventually foster and cultivate persecution against the Christians. It was ultimately under Nero that Paul himself was executed. So knowing that, when we read the words we're about to read, it's extraordinary what Paul would call Timothy and the Christians to do. But the context of calling them to this, calling them to prayer, the context for that begins with the end of chapter 1. Fight the good fight, Paul says. Fight the good fight and keep a good conscience. Know that what you do, you're always doing for Christ. And when you must, stand for Christ in the culture. Stand for Christ in the culture. And maybe he was thinking Timothy's mind and the congregation Timothy had, maybe in their mind, they're wondering, well, how do we do that? How do we fight the good fight? What's the first thing we need to do? So Paul answers that question. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, as Paul considers the culture, the leaders, the hostility against Christianity, whatever might happen next, this is what Paul says. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First of all, then, here's the first thing to consider, he said, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So what's our first priority after the election? What's our first priority as Christians? What difference does it make that we're Christians? Is our first priority to gripe if we didn't get our way in the election at any level? Is our first priority even to celebrate if we got exactly what we wanted out of the election? Is that our first priority? Paul says, no, here's your first priority. Here it is, pray. Christians are called to pray. And Paul says, I want to unpack this just a minute. Paul says there are three reasons that we must remember that's our first priority. That's our first call to pray for those in authority, to pray for those in government, to pray for whoever is leading the nation. We'll find out later in the series. The Bible teaches, the Apostle Paul himself teaches, that God is the one that puts everyone in authority in the government because he's the ultimate authority. So what then is our role? And what difference does it make for us? So why should we pray? Three things Paul says. First of all, we must pray because prayer affirms our position. Prayer affirms our position. First of all, he says, I urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those who are in authority. Everybody. Pray for everyone. And then specifically for the emperor, for kings, and everyone under him that's in authority. Pray for all of them. And he said, this is the first thing you must do, Christians, in any government, in any nation. This is part of your stewardship of citizenship to pray for those in power. Doing so is an immediate reminder that we belong to another kingdom. It reminds us of our place, of our position. It reminds us who we are in Christ on planet Earth. And then the United States of America. We serve God's kingdom. We pray his kingdom come. We pray his will be done. We're reminded that our position is between the throne room of heaven and the government on earth. We're the ones in the gap. We're the ones praying for the nation. We're the ones praying for the leaders. So when you pray for the government, it always reminds you that whatever government is in power is not the ultimate government. God always is. And it reminds you whatever citizenship you have on planet Earth is not your ultimate citizenship. Your ultimate citizenship is as a citizen of the kingdom of God. That's who you serve. And when you step up in the gap and you pray for your government, you're acknowledging with God himself the role that he's put you in. Paul even delineates a little bit about pray. Petitions, he says. This is making requests for someone's needs. Whenever you pray for your fellow believer in Christ, your siblings in Christ, often they are petitions. You're praying for their needs. Intercessions is kind of reflects a courtroom word. The term intercession refers to bringing them to God. And whatever their needs are, you bring them to God, and you do it with confidence. To intercede is to stand in the gap with confidence. And then Paul says prayers. He just says prayer. He uses a big word that means, you know what, let's just include everything. All those kinds of prayers you pray in your quiet time on Monday morning and through the week, pray all of that after the election for everyone that wins and has won the election. Just pray for them. And in case your person didn't get elected, and in case you're not a fan of who did get elected, and in case you think, well, I'll pray for them, but I'm going to do it kicking and screaming and grudgingly. Note, Paul says, here's your attitude. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Why? Because God's in charge. Remember your position. Remember your position. You are thanking God because he's in charge and he knows the future and he knows what comes next. And if your person won the election and your attitude is to celebrate, be careful. Because God is still the king on the throne. We celebrate him. We celebrate what he's doing through those government officials. And we're praying for them for that reason. It affirms our position in the great kingdom of God when we pray for the government and elected officials. It also, second, it also acknowledges our purpose. It acknowledges our purpose. Paul says, pray for them, look at this, so that. Now, those two little words mean this is why. Here's the reason I told you, because no doubt when Timothy tells the congregation this, they're going to say, wait a minute, he wants us to pray for everyone, and not only everyone we know, but everyone we don't know, and not only them, but all the kings and all the authorities and all the people that can make life hard for us that are in positions of power. He wants us, and he says, yes, here's why. So that we, Christians, may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. God uses the power of prayer to shape the hearts of everyone, including those in government. And our prayer, our desire as we intercede for them, is they will look favorably upon the church, upon Christians. Paul is saying two things here. First, he's saying, don't antagonize the government. You know who the king is, but your job is to serve God in the government. And we want to pray the government will let you do that. To live, as we read it, a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity is more literally unhindered and orderly. Pray for the government and pray that they will not hinder the gospel. Pray that they will not hinder the church. And you, when you live, pray that they will permit you to live an orderly and peaceful life so you can live for Christ right where you are. The best thing the government can ever do is let the church be the church. And the best thing the government can ever do is let Christians be Christians in our culture. Let us live for Christ in the culture. Unfortunately, not every government will do that. So pray that the government will permit us to do that. And think of your siblings in Christ all over the world where the government oppresses them. Think of this prayer in those terms. Think of them praying that the government will give them the liberty just to be the people of God, just to go to church, just to openly share the gospel, and then never neglect those freedoms that we have to do just that. But pray for them. Don't take it for granted. Pray that the government will let you live a Christian life and let the church just be the church. And as you do so, you live in all godliness. You serve Christ. As Paul told Timothy, you fight the good fight with a good conscience. You live in all godliness and you live in all dignity. And yes, he's speaking to those Christians, believe it or not, in that day as well, who saw it as their part in the culture to maybe dust things up a little bit. Get out there and make people mad. Now, sometimes you're going to stand for the truth. But there's a difference between people getting mad at you because you're standing for the truth, living a peaceful and tranquil life, living for Christ. There's a difference between that and you antagonizing people just because you can. And worse, doing it in the name of Christ. So Paul's speaking to both sides, and he says to both, pray the government will let you live. That's more effective. That's more powerful. Yes, sometimes they're going to come against you. Yes, sometimes you're going to make people angry. But do it because you're living for Christ, a godly life in dignity. So when you pray for the government, it affirms your position. You're in the gap between God and the government and the people. You're praying for them. It acknowledges your purpose. You are here to serve Christ. You're not here to try to get your way in government or get your way in everything. You're here to serve Christ. And whatever he calls you to do, that's what you and I are here to do. That's our priority. And then Paul says the third reason for praying for those in authority is that prayer refreshes our perspective. Prayer reminds us every time you pray for people, every time you pray for the government, it realigns your priorities with God. Because what are your alternatives? Well, your alternatives are sitting around the Thanksgiving table, griping to one another about what you didn't get your way, or talking about those people that you don't agree with, and you know how it goes, on and on it goes. So when you sit down and say, you know what, I'm going to pray for her, I'm going to pray for him, I'm going to pray for the government, I'm going to pray for that family, I'm going to pray God's will be done, God's kingdom come. I'm going to pray for our nation. It realigns you. It refreshes your perspective. And you start seeing things from God's point of view. And you remember, we saw it last week, what is God's number one priority? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's his number one priority. Paul says, praying that way and being able to live an unhindered and godly life in the culture, Paul says, this is good. If you do that, that's a good thing. And it pleases God our Savior. The term translated good comes from a word that means it's inherently good. It's always good. To pray for the nation and therefore to live for Christ in every situation and pray the government will let you do that is always good and pleases God our Savior, that it pleases Jesus Christ. Occasionally, you ask the question, I wonder what the will of God is for my life. I wonder what the will of God is for me right now. You'd be surprised how often the Bible actually answers that question. It just doesn't answer it the way you want it to. Here's an answer. This is good. This is God's will. Here's what you need to do. Pray for everyone, especially the people in authority, the government leaders, the elected leaders, pray for them. And when you do, pray that you will be able to live a godly life, to serve Christ faithfully, that you can be a Christian and the church can be the church. That's good. It's always good. That term can also be translated beautiful. It's always good by its very nature for you to do that. And it always pleases God for you to do that. And for us to be able to live according to our principles and beliefs in our culture. Always pleases God. Why is that? Paul says, here's why. Because God our Savior wants everyone to come to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Everyone. You and I have a priority greater even than the election. Our priority is to lead those elected representatives to Christ. Our priority is to lead those who didn't get elected to Christ. Our priority is to lead our neighbors to Christ. We have a greater priority even than winning an argument about politics. Our priority is the gospel. And every person you meet, every person you pray for, think of them through God's perspective. Adjust your perspective to his. He doesn't want anyone to be lost. He wants everyone to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Now, let's be real honest. In our culture today, we see a lot of knowledge of lies, a lot of knowledge of falsehoods. Why does that happen? Because people need Christ. The knowledge of the truth is the truth of the gospel. It's the truth of Jesus Christ. It's the truth of the Word of God. It's the truth of who he is. And you and I have the privilege to stand in the gap for our nation, to stand in the gap for our friends, to stand in the gap for our family members, to plead with God, to intercede with God, to petition with God for everyone we know, and to live a godly life so that we can lead others to Christ. That's God's priority. So when you pray for them, God refreshes your perspective to see people the way he sees them. And the way God sees them always, first and foremost, we saw it last week, those who are perishing and those who are being saved. That's how God sees everybody. I'm going to give us an opportunity to respond to the Lord. And this morning, after our time of response, we're going to close our service in a unique way. But I want to get there first. And I want to remind you that people have been praying for you. Did you know that? You know, these two that we baptized, and think of the day that you were baptized, if you've come to Christ and been baptized, remember people were praying for you. There were people along the way. Maybe it was your parents who were gone now. Maybe it was a grandparent who's gone now. Maybe it's somebody in your own household, somebody in this church, somebody you just met not long ago. But they're praying for you, and they've been praying for you. They've been standing in the gap for you. And that day you came to Christ, God said, well done, good and faithful servant. Keep praying. There are more that need Christ, more that need to come to a knowledge of the truth. Church, you've been wondering, well, what do we do now after this election? You just had the answer. You pray. You pray and you participate. Share the gospel with people. This always pleases God our Savior. Always does. And pray for the government. Pray for those leaders. Pray for those people that God has put in authority or permitted to be in authority at this time. But remember, we are citizens of the kingdom. We serve God at all times, in all situations. We serve Him, and we serve the gospel. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to have a time of response. And then, like I say, we're going to close the service in a different way today. Heavenly Father, God, we come to this time of response, this opportunity, Father, for people to make decisions for Christ. First, Father, I pray for believers in this room and at home that we may be excited about the outcome of the election. We might be discouraged about the outcome of the election. We might be somewhere in between. We might be neutral about it, ambivalent, apathetic. But God, we cannot be apathetic or unconcerned about the people around us or the souls of the people that are leading our nation and our community. God, we cannot be apathetic. We cannot be unconcerned. And God, I pray you would put that back on our hearts, Father. If we have been distracted by all the politics of the day, Father, forgive us for that. Get us back on track with the great work of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, if you want to use us in ministry and in the gospel, Father, I pray there'd be no distraction in our lives to prevent that. And I pray for us and for our nation, God, that we would have the freedom to be the church, that we would have the freedom to be Christians, and we would have the wisdom to share the gospel, to see things and see people from your perspective. Help us to do that, Father. So, God, we go into this time of response, and wherever we are, Father, in our relationship with you, I pray, God, you deal with us right there. Maybe some of us need to confess and repent of sin in our lives that keeps us from living a godly life for you. Maybe there's some who need to come to faith in Christ for the very first time to trust Jesus as their Savior today. Maybe there's some of us, God, that just need to pause where we are, even as we sing in a moment, and pray for those officials in government. Pray for those people, God, you have installed in office, that they would be wise and they would live godly lives and they would set us free to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray for our siblings all over the world who do not serve Christ under those kinds of governments, Father, but they do serve alongside us as we all serve the kingdom of God. So God, we give you this time and pray the Holy Spirit would move in our midst today and we would respond to Christ as you're calling us to respond. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.